Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. Hope you're very well. It's a wet and dreary Sunday morning up here in Manchester. I don't know what it's like where you are, but we'll cheer you up. We'll cheer you up. We'll have a bit of sunshine to your life this morning. Imran Yusuf is my guest.
Hello, sir.
Hello, pal. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, yes. We have. We did the show up in Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. And you were at the Manchester Comedy Store last night?
Yes, I was, for the weekend.
What a great club that is.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I love getting a weekend there.
Yeah, it's great. Or, you know, there's two comedy stores.
Yes.
And whenever you go there, just what I love, the best comedy clubs in the country, like the Comedy Store and like the Stand, whenever you play there, you get treated like family.
Yeah.
You're not just turning up to do the job and the business transaction. The staff know you. You kind of know each other's families and each other's like what's going on. And you kind of feel at home.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's what I love. It's like a nice weekend away coming up here. Yeah. And, you know, and there's plenty to do in Manchester.
What do you do in the day? Do you get out and about?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think I really make it. So I used to be very London. Before I was even a comedian, I was like, I knew London and the rest of the world, and London.
Right.
That was it.
And when Hull was the same as.
Going to East Africa, practically. And after becoming a comic and you get to see the rest of the country, one of the things that I do make a habit of is that when I go to other cities, I will go to the local museums and the local exhibitions.
Oh, wow, you're one of those guys.
The local culture. Yeah, just to understand that, you know, that there's these provinces have their own particular history and particular language. And so I just try to soak that up to appreciate it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not all, there's not just like a monoculture to England. It's actually
very much
very diverse.
Every
and
house
very
is different. I mean, you walk along the road.
Yeah, the architecture around here is amazing. Like, I stop and I try not to take pictures. I just try to stop and soak the building in.
It's a weird one with architecture. I found in this. This is not what I thought we'd start the show with. It's a weird one with architecture. But as I go around this country, is the ground floor of every city is essentially identical. Like, there's Costa, and Marie Curie's, and then it's the same. But so this country's only individual architecture is from the first floor up.
Right.
When you look up, you go, okay, this is where this, you know, you've got cities like York and Chester and those ones that have managed to keep that sort of that centre, you know, and that sense of individuality, you know.
Yeah,
but there's the amount of times I wake up in a city when I'm on tour, and for about 10 minutes, I'm like, where am I?
Yeah, you don't know. It can be a bit sterile.
Yeah. But it's, well, there you go. Are you a morning person, Imran? Are you up and out?
Can be sometimes. Once I've been here, I woke up, have brunch with the other comics that are staying in the hotel if they're up with me.
Things have
just
changed.
So we get to, because sometimes you meet new comics. I realise I've been around for a while now.
Yeah.
And I'm not the old guard just yet, but I'm on my way there. But then when the newer, younger comics come in, they start playing the store. Often they're quite alien. They don't know the rhythm of it, and they also don't know the other comics. And so I'll be like, hey, let's go out to lunch.
Come on, Science and Industry Museum. Yeah, let's go.
Matters.
Imran is not joking about going to museums. We've literally just been looking at pictures of some of the things that he's been looking at in Manchester.
Yeah.
I when I was on tour with Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, crikey, that's hard to say, it's 8:15. Nearly in trouble with Ofcom then. The guy who played my dad, Grandpa Potts, Andy Hockley, used to get on whatever town we were in, first day, open top red bus and do a tour of the towns we were in, the different cities that we were in.
Beautiful.
It was quite fun. I did a couple. I mean, I was a bit like, I wasn't doing all of them.
Yeah.
I certainly wasn't going to do Manchester. I was like, get in my car, I'll show you yourself. But you've done the Manchester Museum. Those pictures were?
You know what? I forgot what it's called. I always go to it when I come here. I don't know what it's called. I just know it's opposite Cafe Nero. But yeah, that was their exhibition. The Halima Castle exhibition was there. And then I also went to the Home Centre and saw the David Lynch exhibition.
What was that like?
It was scary.
Yeah, depressing.
And yeah, it's quite depressing, but just quite powerful.
What? I don't know who David Lynch is.
Is he
the film guy?
Right? Yeah, I don't know a lot of his stuff, but I know the name.
I know the name,
when I walked in, I just saw this artwork that was, I guess, inspired by what he does, and it was quite upsetting.
What, as in just like a dystopian sort of
just
of...
Unhappy, like weird, just very dystopian and grey, and But hey, I went, and it's good to soak this stuff in.
It is, but you know, at the same time, I just like a painting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I like a painting of just like a horse in a field. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why is no one painting horses in fields anymore? Everyone's got to make a point now. Just draw a horse, mate. Do a bit of colouring in.
Colouring in. A bit of colouring in. I'd love to hear an artist say that. What are you doing now? Oh, just a bit of colouring in.
Just colouring in, mate. I just got really good at colouring in early doors, and that's my thing. That's my thing. I mean, it's just fancy colouring in, isn't it? A lot of it.
Very fancy colouring in. Really fancy. The next level up of art.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'll do. The last time I went to a museum. A lot of it is with my kids. I'll go to a museum with a kid. My kids.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Hopefully.
Yeah, unless you get free with a child. And you're like, hey, mate, fancy going to the museum? but the Mozzie here in Manchester, the Science and Industry Museum, that's always a great day out.
Yes, you know what? The last time I went to that, I went in a bit too late and I basically got kicked out before I could finish it.
Oh, right, that's
because the Science and Industry Museum is split up into separate buildings,
yes,
isn't
yeah,
it?
So, yeah,
and
yeah.
I remember that, I found that weird. I didn't quite understand it. But that gives you a great insight into how this particular city kind of emerged and built through the Industrial Revolution.
I also had a Blue Peter badge.
Oh, wow.
Clang. You were able. Once upon a time, you were able to get in for free into a lot of places. I mean, a lot of the places were already free. That's what I did notice with the Blue Peter badge.
Right.
It was a gift that didn't need to be given. But I did enjoy that. Who's up and about that? Let's have a look. Sally's up. Morning, Jace. The reason I'm up so early this Sunday morning is to take my son Henry to his first week of ice hockey trials to join the Guildford Flames. They've always got great names, ice hockey teams, haven't they? They've really gone for it.
Wow.
They started this morning at 7:15, so I was up at 6:15. They alternate between a 7:15 and a 6 a.m. start. Oh, no. That child needs a different hobby.
Yeah.
That does not sound fun.
No.
You can't. I mean, my kids have just started football. It starts at 11 a.m. I'm like, fine. I'm fine with this.
Yeah.
Not that time. That's crazy.
That's super early.
That's dedicated parenting.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever played ice hockey?
No, not at all.
Same.
I didn't realise that we really played that here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we've got a few teams knocking about.
Oh, wow. So the Americanization of sports is kind of coming this way.
I guess so. Well, we live in a global culture now, don't we?
Football is the best sport in the world.
Absolutely.
Like, without a doubt.
Like, 100%. And all the other sports are a variation on the best sport in the world.
But the other sports are there. They're available.
They're fine.
If you insist on not embracing the best sport in the
world. You go to a restaurant and you say, oh, do you know what? I want the steak or whatever your favourite meal is.
Yeah.
And they go, actually, we're out of this. We've got all these other things.
Yeah.
It's not what I came for.
Exactly.
But I'll have it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm a bit like that. But ice hockey is not. Yeah, they've all got that. Manchester Storm, I think we have. That's what we've got in Manchester, haven't we? Yeah, that sounds about
right. It's very American names as well.
Yes, they are, yeah. they're not like the Hull Drizzle.
Yeah.
That's what they should be, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Imran Yusuf is here.
Yes, I am.
Have you got anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to plug? Any gigs you've got coming up you want to mention for people?
You know what? It's not officially been announced, but I've got a nice little project that's about to happen, having a meeting with the powers that be next week.
On television? Or on live? Come on, give us a clue. No one's listening. There's literally, we have no listeners.
A radio thing.
Oh.
So nice opportunities that have popped up there. And
it's not on a Sunday morning between 8 and 11, is it?
Yeah, I really like Manchester. Yeah. I've been learning a lot about this city. I might have to move here. I get quite a bit of acting interest happening these days, really weirdly.
Yeah.
That seems to be like there's casting directors are asking for me.
That's good. I like acting. Yeah. I mean, people pretend it's hard. It's a piece of cake.
If you're a comic, yeah.
It's dead easy.
Just, they write the words for you.
Honestly, you don't have to write anything.
You just gotta say them.
Go here, say that. Yeah. Look that way. Pick that brew up at some point. And just make sure you keep doing it.
Yeah.
No live audience can make a mistake. Start again.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing. But then you see someone like a Gary Oldman or Anthony Hopkins, and that's real acting.
Level. That's another level.
It is.
My wife was at university with what's his face, Sherlock. But Cumberbatch, Benedict Cumberbatch, yeah, she was at university with him at Manchester and was in a play with him, studying drama at Manchester University, was in a play with him in like second year, did the play for a week, never acted again. Wow. Literally watched him act and just went, well, what's the point?
Wow.
What is the point? Like, if that's the level.
Yeah, if that's a... Well, you know what? That's a... But there's nothing stopping you from getting there.
Whereas I'm the opposite. People see me do stand-up and they think, I could do that.
Yeah, yep. So we make it look easy.
I do keep annoying my... I mean, I'm rehearsing for a play at the moment and a musical, Curtains, which goes on tour next month. And I do keep annoying the other actors because I just keep calling it pretending.
Pretending.
Like, so we have like we have like a little break, and I go, right, guys, let's go back up there and do a bit more pretending.
They're not. No, they're not.
You know, they paid and trained for 3 years.
So yeah.
I'm like, another day down the glitter mine. Come on, off we go. So we were talking ice hockey team names.
Yes.
See if we can anglify some of these names, because I was sort of going through some of the American ones. What are ones that have been Americanized? You know, the Cardiff Devils, the Basingstoke Bisons. Bisons. How many times have you seen a bison in Basingstoke?
I don't think that animal's ever existed here.
Well, the Swindon Wildcats. These are not animals that live here.
It's just maybe a domesticated cat that's had some feral kids and it just could be that.
Telford Tigers.
Yeah, another classic British animal.
The Blackburn Hawks. The Invicta Dynamos. I don't even know where they are. Are they
very scientific?
Kent Way. The Durham Wasps. That's what we do with wasps. That kind of works. So I was sort of, I'm asking you this morning for your British names. Pete the Roofer says the Basingstoke Badgers. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very apt.
Very interesting. We've discussed the badger before because what we found is that no one's actually ever seen one alive.
I have.
No.
I kid you not. And when I did, I was like, oh my God, what is that? And I'm like, that's actually a badger.
Where did you see this thing?
Somewhere, you know, classic driving back home from a gig. And it was actually on its hind legs. It was like stood up
like a upright.
Yes.
Oh my God. Did you
carrying
see?
A brolly.
Are you sure?
It was on his phone. So,
wow. Look at that. We're learning things this morning. Badgers walk upright. No wonder they keep getting knocked over. So we're after your names this morning. Keep them coming. 8-12-15 on the text. What we got here? I'm a big fan of American football, this person says.
You mean American armoured rugby?
Yes.
Let's just correct the English.
Armoured rugby is a good name for it. I like it. They have fearsome animals like Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, and the Carolina Panthers. I reckon we could have the London Pigeons.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we should have.
I'm a fan of that. Jackie theorises. She says, our hockey team is the Sheffield Steelers to reflect our once proud steel industry, which is very good. She said, although perhaps we should maybe tweak it to Sheffield Steelers, Steelers, to reflect our more recent crime rates.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Who designs these playlists?
I genuinely have no idea. I've never met the person. I think it's some sort of Borg.
A Borg?
Yeah, I don't know. I genuinely don't know who it is.
The playlist is created.
So somebody... That somebody's speciality job at all radio stations, as far as I'm aware, is to select a playlist, you know, so they know who's around, you know, what songs people want to listen to, what new music is coming in. And so it's all sort of, it's programmed here. I don't want to ruin any magic for you here, guys. Yeah. But, I probably could put my foot down and say, you know, oh, I'd like to choose a song, you know, every hour, but I'm genuinely not bothered. Not that I'm not bothered. I love music, but I actually like the playlist. So they pick songs that I go, oh, the amount of times I finish the show and I've written down, oh, actually, I like that Kasabian one or whatever.
It's a powerful position to have. How many people listen to this show that, you know, depending on what you put out, the nation feels a certain way.
That's right,
It's a form of mind control.
Well, essentially, yeah.
You are feeling happy listening to Jason Manford and Imran Yusuf.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so. They are in charge of your mood.
Yeah.
This morning. And they've also obviously got like 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties, classic rock station as well. So And I think it's just like, is it like three people or something who do the whole of the music?
The Illuminati of British radio.
It's like the Wizard of Oz. They're just behind a curtain in the corner. You just turn, you just open it up. It's just one bloke sat there, an old fella. He was an old man all the time. So we're talking, I like this topic. This is fun. So we've got Telford Tigers. We know that's a proper team. Manchester Storm is quite a good name, although Storm is... we do have storms in the UK, so that feels, you know what I mean? But I was sort of, you know, I was thinking more like the Didsbury Drizzle or something, like that's better.
And all the coastal places, like you'd need the Brighton Seagulls.
The Brighton Seagulls,
now that's a real aerial menace.
That
is the seagull.
Massive. They are weird. And they do walk upright and cross roads.
Steal ice creams.
Horrible things.
They don't swear at you.
Horrible. We talked about it a few weeks back. The scientists at Exeter University were saying that to deal with did you hear about this? To deal with the seagull, you just need to try and stare them out.
Wow.
Yeah. Who's that brave? He's the guy that came up with punch a shark if it comes at you.
All right.
Yeah. We on a jellyfish. I don't know if that one's true. And Hull Hedgehogs, that could work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Chester Chickens. The Yorkshire Tea Tykes. I like that. Yorkshire Tea Tykes. Tykes is that's the word they use over that way, don't they?
As if in little kid.
A tyke.
Is that what?
I don't know what it actually means, but I just know they use it in Yorkshire quite a lot. Because quite a few of the teams are called the Tykes, aren't they? Yeah. We've got Solihull Barons ice hockey team. That's an actual team. The Solihull Barons.
Barons.
The Barons, yeah.
Isn't that a place where something lives?
What? Solihull? Yeah, sort of. Dave says the Queen's Ferry Cures. That's British. Doesn't get more wow. British than that. The Queen's Ferry Cures.
Cures.
I like that. The Didcot Daddy Longlegs. That would be a good team. I like that. Chichester Chihuahuas. The Swindon Squirrels.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but they'd have to be red squirrels, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously. The dominant. The dominant squirrel. I saw a squirrel the other day that... This is a weird story. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I saw a squirrel the other day that surprised me and I farted. Isn't that a weird thing to have happened? I was obviously... and I was in polite company as well. I was with like new people.
Well, did he jump out?
We were in the little garden bit and obviously, you know, when you're talking and you can feel... I'm sorry to get like the technical, but you can feel, you know, one brewing.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to do the old 50p, 5p with my bum and trying to just keep it in. The producer is just like left. He's just left. And I'm like trying to keep it in. And then the squirrel sort of jumped out. And obviously my body must have just like relaxed for a second. And it just jumped out. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that just happened. I'm really sorry, guys. Not just sorry that it happened, but I'm sorry that I just told you about it.
That's a great...
Radio. Manford. Where real music matters.
So, I started this last week. I quite like it as a little feature. So, in my daughter's primary school, they ask, not every day, they don't ask it every day, but every week they say, this week, tell me three things. So, tell me, this week, has someone done something nice for you? Have you done something nice for somebody else? And something you've learnt.
Right.
Them are three, okay?
Okay.
Imran, tell me, something nice that someone did for you.
Something nice. I've got a couple of, two things.
Absolutely, fine.
I just want to give a shout out to this. So I did a gig on Wednesday in Birmingham for Jay Handley, who's got the Fat Penguin Comedy Club in Birmingham.
There you
and,
go. Go on down.
Because,
have a good night.
Because of the calibre of comedian that I have achieved, if I do a gig out of town for like a gig like that, I can be like, hey, I'd love to do a gig, but is there like another act who's driving from London?
Yeah.
And then I'll chip in with the petrol and be a polite passenger.
Of course.
And I can like I can do that because I'm closing the show.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll sort that out for you. And a young new comedian called Matt Smith, he drove me up and then also drove me back home as part of the, he got to be on the gig as part of the thing. And just wanted to give him a shout out. Like, I'm actually grateful.
Yeah.
Because often, you know, comics, the guy who does the driving or the person who does the driving, it's knackering.
And they've got to do a gig in the middle of it.
Yeah, they've got to do a gig. And it's always right to let them know that you're going to, you know, contribute towards the fuel or the electric or the diesel, whatever it is.
Yes.
That, and also be a polite passenger. And I always let them know up front. And I'm also just grateful for him doing that because I don't like driving.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it.
I like to get in the back. just to be extra rude. I've been doing this job for 20 years, so I go, you don't mind driving? I'm just going to get in the back and have a nap, if that's all right. Don't talk to me or look at me in the rearview mirror.
and the other thing, nice, I'm grateful for,
yeah,
is, so I'm a patron of a charity called Games Aid, which, okay, is the video games industry has an umbrella charity that helps smaller charities in the UK. Mm. And I didn't realise that every year they do the check-giving ceremony, they actually put my picture up with all the other patrons and trustees, even though I'm not in the games industry anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I do I'm a patron and a fundraiser.
I see.
They put my picture up and they mentioned
that's
me.
Nice.
And I'm like, yay, cool. I'm known in the games industry still, somehow.
And they raise money all the way through the year?
All the way through the year. At the end of the year, they give a check-giving ceremony to the charities that they will support for that year.
Nice.
And it's amazing to see that the video games industry does for the country.
It's massive now, isn't it, the games?
It's bigger than Hollywood. And huge. Also incredibly diverse in a way that I don't think you see in lots of other industries as well. Video games are an incredible positive force of education, of art, entertainment.
Yeah,
and a right laugh.
Music matters.
So what have you learnt this week? Give us one example of something you've learnt this week.
I've learnt that the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance that's on Netflix is actually a prequel to the original Dark Crystal that came out in the 80s.
I was looking at that last night.
It's incredible.
Is it good?
It's incredible.
Okay.
I absolutely fell in love with it. It's the best thing on Netflix.
Wow. Bold claim.
Better than all the stuff that we normally get excited about.
Really?
It's just come out and it is just phenomenal.
I watched the Bill Burr special, Paper Tiger, this week.
Yes.
Which genuinely made me... I actually spat water out at one point. It was so funny. I mean, not for the easily offended.
Yeah, I mean, I think pound for pound, he's technically the best comic there is right now.
Absolutely.
He's owns who he is and he's great.
He rides it, doesn't he? I mean, the whole thing is like trigger. Like, if you're not... But you're not in a good place.
He doesn't do it like deliberately.
No.
It's stuff he actually thinks about. And
he's very clever,
yeah.
He's also very clever at making stuff sound risky and offensive. But actually, once you delve into it, it's actually quite reasonable.
He's telling his truth. And I think that's the ultimate level.
Yeah. I remember seeing Frankie Boyle, actually, and people say, oh, Frankie Boyle, you know, offensive. He's not politically correct. Actually, when you watch somebody like Frankie Boyle, he couldn't be any more politically correct. Yes, he's gone... He's gone at it from a non-politically correct angle, and he might say things that aren't politically correct. Yeah. But when you hear what he's actually saying, those things are.
That's the beauty of comedy.
Very clever.
We can go to these areas that nobody else can.
Yeah,
you do it artfully.
Artfully, yes, that's right. It's not just colouring in.
Yeah.
Jason Manford, Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
Imran Yusuf is here.
Indeed I am.
Very funny comedian. If you get a chance to see him live at your local club, or if he's ever doing a tour, or if you see him pop up on the television,
I'm on the second leg of a tour, sorry.
There you go. I did ask you that earlier.
I said, what have you got to plug?
He went, so, just got a meeting next week. That's what he said.
We extended. So myself and Ashley Blaker are doing, I've been doing a tour together, and it's called Profit Sharing.
Okay.
Ashley is an Orthodox and I'm an unorthodox Muslim. I can explain what that means in the show. And we've gone on tour together, and it's been really great.
That
people
sounds interesting.
Who otherwise may not come to see us individually have gone, all right, this is interesting, let's go watch this. And we do our separate bits, and then we come on stage together and do a bit together.
That sounds fun.
And it's been eye-opening for me. I learned a lot about him and his journey and his faith, because, like, he's really studied it. Like, he is gone.
Yeah,
like,
no, I've met him a few times. He's a clever guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's been a lot of fun, and, you know, building bridges in the community, which is what we need to do. So, yeah, we've done that. And we're on the second leg of the tour.
Yeah,
of that.
I think I know the least about the Jewish faith, even though it's... Is it the oldest?
I feel like the oldest would probably be I don't know if the Hindu scriptures are super, super old.
Right, got you. Yeah, I just sort of know. I don't know a lot about it, really.
All right. You know? So yeah, and we share that. We're like, oh look, here are the stories of like prophets that we share in certain habits, which
is weird, isn't it? When you think of like in entertainment, certainly in stand up and entertainment, like Jewish comedy, certainly from America, those Jewish comics of like the sort of 50s and 60s, and you know, obviously Mel Brooks and you know, all those great people, Jackie Mason, and sort of like it's sort of part of our work culture, I guess, as stand-ups.
Yeah, I guess. And what's interesting with Ashley is he used to be a comedy producer and produced
Little Britain. Yes, that's where I met him.
And then he started doing stand-up, playing mainly to Orthodox Jewish audiences.
Right.
And then he's like, I want to branch out and like, let's do something together. And what's great is that lots of Orthodox Jewish people have come out to watch the show and seen me for the first time.
Yeah, and I imagine they wouldn't necessarily go and see you.
They may not necessarily go, that's relevant to them, but because I actually know a lot about, you know, the faith through the stories of the prophets that we share. And they're like, oh, wow, you know, how does he know that? How does he know that?
Yeah.
And it's been great. It's been great.
That sounds interesting. I come and see that. What's the show called?
It's called Profit Sharing.
Profit Sharing. And it's a good...
It was his idea. It's great.
It's a good title. Yeah. It's a good title. Profit Sharing. And that's on... We're just about to hit a second leg of the tour.
The second leg of the tour. If you look up Ashley Blaker or Imran Yusuf, it's on the top of our Twitter and Facebook feeds. Come and check that out.
There you go.
This is...
Jason Manford.
This is... Music matters.
Julia Marks stayed the night in Bath after watching Kelly Jones last night. Love Scarborough, by the way. Well, thank you very much. It's on every Friday, 9:30 on BBC One. It's a new comedy show from the Benidorm writer, Darren Litton. It's got me and Kath Tilsley and Stephanie Cole and Steve Edge, the show's very best friend. And it's on every week. It's on the iPlayer as well if you want to catch up on the two episodes that are already on there. Now, this is what I wanted to get off my chest today. So I've been rehearsing for this musical, Imran, and because I'm on my feet all day, I'm knocking like, I must be doing 20,000 steps on my Fitbit.
All right,
it's through the roof, mate, it's through the roof. And I'm dancing, sort of. I'm following choreography. I think that's a fair way of saying
it.
And we're doing some lovely, you know, Strictly type stuff and, you know, doing a bit of tap dancing and things like that. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I'm on my feet all day. And obviously surrounded by quite healthy young people. So I'm walking past the Greggs to go to the... there is a Greggs right next door. I did have a bean, cheese and sausage pasty the other day. But other than that, I've been eating very well for the last fortnight and stuff. And without no word of a lie, in just over 2 weeks, I have lost about £9, right? It was about £1 a day for the first 4 days. It was crazy. As Jimmy Carr used to say, it's like throwing deck chairs off the Titanic. But I got there. And so I came home. I'd not seen my wife for a week or so. And she firstly complimented me. She said, oh, you lost a bit of weight. I said, thanks very much. And I was getting out of the shower that evening and I sort of was drying myself and she was behind me. And she said, I've always thought it was weird with you. And I said, what's that, love? She said, you don't look fat from behind. I said, what the hell? What's that even mean? She said, well, your legs are nice and toned, and you know, your bum's nice, and you know, your back's fine, and you know, obviously the beard hides a multitude of chins, but like from behind, you look not fat.
No.
It's just when you turn, you know, I felt like, I turn around on like Mr. Greedy from the Mr. Men, like, just like a big, yeah. I was like, what? That's the worst compliment I've ever had.
It's meant to make you feel good. And then you're like, no, actually, this exacerbates.
Yeah. Awful. Awful. So I asked online about it, and I want to know from you, backhanded compliments. Loads of people already have sort of mentioned it on our Absolute Radio Facebook page and my own Facebook page. Lou Kitty says, when my daughter was about 3, I was putting her to bed, and she said, Mummy, I think you are beautiful. It was lovely. And then she said, other people might not think so, but I do. Kids are cracking at it. They really are.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Imran Yusuf is here.
I am.
About to go on tour that he didn't know about. Profit Share. Have a little look for that with Ashley Blaker. Yeah. So look out for that. And we're talking this morning, backhanded compliments after my dear wife said the other day, hey, Jace, you don't look fat from behind. The problem with that compliment is I meet most people front on.
Yes.
The front is the most important to me.
You need to start reversing into all your interactions with people.
Hey there, how's it going? I turn around, knock glasses over my belly. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I don't cry myself to sleep anymore. It's totally fine. And we're talking backhanded compliments. Morning, Jason. When I was leaving a bar, a man went out of his way to approach me and tell me I'd be dead fit if I lost a stone. Oh, my goodness. People are awful. Mostly men. But yeah, that is all. Yeah. Terrible thing to say.
What is going through his head? If he's like...
He can't...
Surely he wants to impress this girl. Like, he wants to get her number.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, I know, I'm going to pay her a compliment, and not understanding it's actually just an insult.
And if you're, like, if you're one of the chosen people who are good-looking, it's sort of... A stone is not... That is not the difference between being sexy and ugly. Like, a stone is not a problem.
Not at all.
That is not a problem. My husband said I'm looking... This is Nat. My husband said I'm looking better because I don't have a puffy face anymore. Wow, there's a husband.
Oof.
This is the nearest and dearest.
Is this what happens in marriage? People like just kind of go, oh, well, yeah, I got her now, so...
Well,
I'll just be
there's an element of that. Yeah. I think so. I mean, not me. I'm not a mug. It's tough. It's tricky. It's tricky working out those conversations with your loved ones. It's I mean, the classic the other day, which I only thought happened in sort of 80s stand-up routines, where my wife came with two dresses and said, which one of these do you think I should wear tonight? And so I said, that blue one there is nice with the flowers on it. And she said, what's wrong with the green one? I was like, that is not the question you asked me. Caitlin from Wigan. My gran once told me, you're not as thick as you look. There's a generation of people who do not care what they say anymore.
They're absolute gangster.
I'll absolutely love that. So keep them coming in this morning. It'd be lovely to hear from you. Stephanie Crook, who's working from the RF Oldham, I think. Oh, no. Is she in Oldham? I don't know what she's saying. But anyway, she said, my backhanded compliment is, you're all right for a ginger, somebody said. You're all
what?
Right. It's weird, isn't it? I must say, the ginger thing is odd, isn't it? Because... It feels like that's the last minority of people that nobody seems to get upset about.
It's also particular to this country, I think.
It is, you're right.
I think it's a very British thing.
Yeah. It is actually, yeah.
I think having red hair in like maybe North America is kind
Celtic
of celebrated
thing, you think?
In a way.
Is it something in our history where we...
Well, the red hair is meant to be Celtic, right?
Yeah, so whether there's something because of that, because did they invade or did we...
I think they got the sharp end of that stick.
Yeah, I think they did. So we, and then there's obviously been a bit of history between the Celts and...
Yeah, absolutely.
And non-Celts, and maybe the redhead thing has just seeped through. I don't know, it must be something like that.
Yeah,
it is odd that you're still allowed to say, well, apart from the Tim Minchin song, wasn't it? He had only a ginger is allowed to call another ginger ginger,
right?
Which is a great track of his.
But does it happen? Was that a lady that said that?
She said that, yeah. Which is odd because actually,
but red hair on a woman,
red
is
hair
phenomenal.
On women is unbelievable,
just phenomenal. Yeah,
it's beautiful. Yeah. It's like the best of the hair colors
because it's rare.
Yes,
and.
It's striking.
It's striking. It really is.
Yeah. On a lad, it can look a bit menacing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you remember them early Bill Burr videos? You're like, this Christ guy means business.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can understand. But yeah, I wonder why that is. That's we can wonder like that for the rest of the morning.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Someone says, my husband said, I have a cracking body, considering you've had 5 kids. Wow. These are your nearest and dearest. Keep your mouth shut. Blokes are thick, aren't they, sometimes? What's wrong with us? What is wrong with us? I had a... try and pop your names on these as well so I can give you a shout out. A man chatting me up told me, I bet you were really attractive when you were younger. He was surprised when I laughed and said, that's the rudest compliment I've ever had.
I think we need like a course for blokes for right now. We just need to save ourselves from this trap we've fallen into.
But isn't there a thing, isn't there enough like a is it called negging or something? Is that the
being negative the term? But deliberately in order to kind of elicit like this need of a compliment from a woman, whatever.
Are men that clever?
I think there was a strategy that seemed to work for a while, but obviously everyone's cottoned onto it now.
Yeah,
just you know what? Like, just being authentic, be you.
Jog on,
actually,
mate,
be you.
Adam in East Wales says, my mum asked me, have you lost weight? You don't look as fat as usual. I had been on a diet for a few weeks and had lost a bit of weight. Well, Adam, you be you, my friend. Don't you let your mum bully you. And we've got Eric on the line. Good morning, Eric.
Hi there.
Morning. Where are you calling from, pal?
Up in Aberdeen.
Lovely stuff in Aberdeen. Tell us your backhanded compliment. Who did it come from?
So it came from my son who... Time would have been about 2.5.
Lovely.
My job is to put them to bed unless I'm working late.
Mm-hmm.
So just the usual good night. He was just still in his cot at the time. Now he's in his big boy bed. So I put him down and I said, I love you, Joe. And he said, I love you too, Daddy.
Oh.
And then about a 5-second gap and he said, only joking.
Oh, man.
Destroyed.
Oh, brutal.
Destroyed. And then straight to sleep. And then you just had to sit there stewing on it.
Well, I couldn't wait to run downstairs to tell his mum. But yeah, it's funny. He's a bit of a comic, to be honest.
Oh, he sounds an absolute winner. I love that. I had a moment with my daughter the other day. She's 4. And my parents' dog has just died, like just been put down. And she was 15 and, you know, riddled with arthritis and not very well at all. And I told my daughter, I told my kids, like, sort of went, hi guys, you know, just want to tell you that Nikita, this is the dog, Nikita has died. And they all looked sad. I put my 4-year-old who went, oh, good, I never liked her.
Oh.
I was like, wow. Thank God you said it here. Thank God you said it here, not there. My goodness. Thanks for calling, Eric.
Cheers, bye.
Take care.
Jason. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Jason, my girlfriend said, if you didn't drink as much tea, I'd enjoy kissing you more. What a weird thing to say. Tea isn't a thing that makes you rank to kiss, does it? Is that a thing? No.
I don't. Has anybody engaged in a bit of like post-tea?
Coffee, I can say coffee, yeah. But not tea. Tea's, I'm not having that.
No.
Jason, I'm quite short. I'm 4'11" and I've always hated it. My friend tries to reassure me and said, at least you've got a nice face. Well, it's a backhanded compliment, but at the very least, you've got a nice face. That's not a bad compliment, really. It's not the end of the world, is it? And someone just said, you're a good lad. I don't care what your mates say. That's the sort of thing I'm after. I love a bit of that. We've got Kate on... Sorry, no, we've got Sarah. Sarah on the line. Good morning, Sarah.
Morning.
Morning. Where are you calling from?
Derby.
Derby?
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. All right, tell us then, who did your backhanded compliment come from?
It came from my 5-year-old daughter. We were driving in the car, it was only yesterday, and she just turned around and she was like, oh, I want to be like you when I grow up, Mummy. Like, oh, thanks, babe.
Ew.
She's like, but more fashionable.
Oh! Mic drop. And Sarah, would you count yourself as a fashionable person, or is that not something that's important to you?
I didn't think it was important, but no. Obviously, I've been told by my 5-year-old I'm not.
Yeah, crikey. Where's your shopper choice? If you just off the top of your head, where's the place you go for clothes?
Next,
yeah, same. Nothing wrong with Next.
Yeah,
but obviously, me and you are wrong, Sarah.
Well, must be.
Oh, my goodness. What, she just dressing? Are you dressing your kid in Gucci? Is that what's been happening?
Oh, no, she told me she wants one of these handbags that goes on her elbow and the palm sticks out and you walk like a cat.
Wow.
Wow.
She knows what she wants.
She's
love
very
it.
Very sassy.
Well, thanks for getting in touch, Sarah.
Okay, see ya.
Music matters.
Talking about backhanded compliments, those moments where you've somebody's tried to say something nice and you go, hang on, that's not a nice thing to say. My wife told me last week that I didn't look fat from behind, which, wow, that was a beauty. Got me right in the heart, if I could. I mean, if you could get through all the visceral fat that surrounds it. Backhanded compliment. My partner of 20 years once looked at me and said, "I'd love to have your calf muscles." That is not a compliment to a woman, mate. You can't say these things. Calf muscles. Is that something you're going for? Rich in Birmingham. When I started losing my hair, I looked for a bit of reassurance from my wife at the time. Something along the lines of, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the person inside that counts. And her response was a slightly cautious, "At least you've got a nice face." Another nice face compliment. I think that's okay. You can't do anything about losing your hair. Once it's going, nothing you can do. But your face is your face, you know. Kate, good morning.
Good morning. How morning. Are you?
I'm well. Where are you calling from, my love?
I'm calling from Fulham in London.
Lovely stuff, all right.
I am Yorkshire born and bred.
I was going to say, you don't sound like you're Fulham Broadway.
No, I'm not Fulham Broadway. I'm Yorkshire born and bred, all East right. Riding.
Lovely stuff. What, are you down there on some sort of witness protection or something? What's happened?
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Basically, I've had to escape.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
Well, I think so. I mean, everyone has to escape the sheep, don't they?
But, so tell us who gave you your compliment, your backhanded compliment?
Right, okay. Backhanded compliment was, I was in the pub the other day, mm-hmm. and I was just drinking my glass of rosé, minding my own business.
Have a lovely time.
And one of my best mates walked in and just went, "Kate, what size are you?" And I went, 8 to 10, why? And she went, "How high are you?" And I went, 5 foot 7, why? And she went, "Well, you're not in bad nick for 48, but you'll be haggard in 2 years.
Wow.
Now, that is a backhanded... I don't even know if it's a compliment or an insult.
That's a full-on insult.
Does sound like a full-on insult.
It's a trap. That's what that was.
And this is a friend of how long?
God, 10 years.
10 years. And what... So, I'm trying to paint the scene here. So you're in the pub, you're having your rosé, you're in the corner, minding your own business.
Yeah, just minding my own business.
She's coming.
I'm just looking at my phone, she's walked in.
And your friend's called?
Zoe.
So Zoe's come over and no hello?
No, nothing.
Nothing, just straight in.
She kissed me on my cheek and then she just said to me, "How much do you weigh? How tall are you?
Wow.
And what size are you?" And then when you're in good nick for 48 years old, but imagine how haggard you will look in 2 years' time. Now, I can't work out whether that is backhanded or whether it's just a blatant flipping insult.
Who hurt her?
It's the latter.
Who hurt her?
It's time for new friends.
Yeah, I think Zoe's got to go.
You don't need that negativity in your life.
No, she's got to go, mate.
Well, it is a bit mean, isn't it?
But it's just more
a bit
than
mean.
That.
I think the phrase is bullying.
Yeah.
That's the word you're looking for.
Exactly.
I'm not sure about that, Kate.
I'm just glad I'm from Yorkshire because at the end of the day, we're a tough nut.
Well, you can take it, can't you?
I know, yeah. All right, Manchester.
Right, enjoy your Sunday.
On the side of the Pennines.
Hey, leave it now. Let's not fall out. Right, take care.
You take care. Have a good day. Bye.
Cheers. Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. I don't know whether the weather's improved or not. I don't know what's going on out there. We're like landlocked. No windows, nothing in our tiny studio. Imran Khan. That's hilarious.
Oh,
Imran Yusuf this morning.
It's been a while.
Imran Khan.
You know, what's happened for between up until the until 2004 between me.
Imran Khan is not here, by the way.
I was named after him because he was at the height of his career when I was born.
I don't feel as racist
people
now.
People used to be like, no, you know what? It's a so basically English people, West Indian people, and other Asian people between the ages of birth and 23. They just go, "Oh, Imran, like Imran Khan." I was like, "Hey, hey, hey." And then after 23, people go, "I'd go, hello, I'm Imran Yusuf," and they go, "Oh, right, yeah, like Cat Stevens."
What? Of course, he changed his name, didn't he?
It changed, and I remember this where I've been introduced on stage as both Imran Khan and Yusuf Islam.
That is too funny.
That's happened.
Imran Khan, I've never heard that.
He's the most famous Imran.
Yeah, that's what he was. I get Jason Donovan. That's my only link.
No.
To that. Yeah, occasionally.
No.
I'm like Donovan. I'm like, are you serious? Like, how long was that ago? Donovan.
He's still around, isn't he?
He is still around, but it's not your first Jason, surely.
No.
Is he?
I don't think he... No.
Argonaut. I'd go Argonaut before I go Donovan.
Yeah.
Mraz? Is that's a Jason, isn't it? Is there a Jason Mraz? Yeah, I feel like that's somebody. I feel like he's a singer. Anyway, we were having lots of deep and meaningful chats there in between. You were actually saying, while we were sort of half on the subject, you were actually saying that even now in 2019, when you go through an airport, you still feel like there's an extra.
Oh, well, if I go to America,
they stop you.
I get told at the check-in gate that I will be put through an additional security check at the gate.
So they don't even like cover it up and pretend that it's not happening.
That I think it's called a Section 7 stop. That basically the American government and the British government have this agreement of like anyone who fits this profile, which is basically brown and has an Arabic/Muslim name,
right?
And the check that they do at the gate is cursory. So after you've gone through the metal detector and the x-ray, which everyone does, at the gate, there'll be some guy who will just basically open your bag, take a quick peek in, and then peek out. And it's deliberately designed to denigrate a specific group of people going to America. And I'm like, well, you know what? Perhaps you've got these problems because you're treating a group of people like they're all... And I've got a public profile. Like, look, I've been on telly.
Just Google it, mate.
I've got 6.3 million hits on my YouTube channel.
Yes.
Like, if I am undercover, then this is phenomenal. Like, I'm doing an incredible job if I'm undercover.
He's playing the long con. He's really gone for it. Maybe you're part of a cell, but you've actually just forgotten. That'd be a good film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're going to reactivate me.
in the middle of the comedy store.
And what will happen? What really funny? They'll reactivate me. And I'm like, guys, but I've got Live at the Apollo next week. And I really want to do it.
Can we do it the week after? I'm doing Absolute Radio with Jason Manford. But...
Jason Manford has stopped all kinds of horrors by inviting me on this show.
Just keeping the world safe. Oh, yeah, Victoria says Jason Statham. Of course, there you go. There's the most famous Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Statham. I would say that. I would say that. My schedule at the moment is I'm working every day, including Sundays, if you can call this work. And yet, this is the lack of discipline I have. Yeah, last night I got home about 10 o'clock, sort of got ready for bed, got into bed. My wife dropped off early doors and I just started watching Olympus Has Fallen.
I've not seen any of
it. It's all right. It's fine. I mean, it's joyless and absolutely humorless. Gerard Butler is the greatest American who was never American. But 1 o'clock in the morning, I was watching things exploding and stuff. I thought, what is that about? Does everyone do that? You know you need to go to bed.
And you watch an action film.
And I'm watching an action film at 1 o'clock in the morning. What is wrong with me? And now I'm going to be knackered all day.
Yeah, yeah. There's just too many of those films. You've got to watch Dark Crystal.
I will try and get onto Dark Crystal. I never saw the one in the 80s, though.
It's so good.
Is it?
What's great about it?
Is it not like puppets and that?
Yeah, but they're great. It's Jim Henson's puppet creations. And it's so good. And ultimately, you know, it's a battle between good and evil. But ultimately, you discover that good and evil are the same... two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, I can see
that. And there
has
to be this fusion and middle ground. And then suddenly you go, oh my God, this is...
It's deep.
Yeah, it's real deep.
Is it like Fraggle Rock, though? Is it like they're all...
No, but it's not kiddie.
Right.
It's not. It's actually quite dark.
Is it? Well, and, it's literally dark.
Yeah, it's the Dark Crystal. Like I said, best thing on Netflix.
Well, there you go. I might get on it. I'll tell you the worst thing on Netflix. Island.
Island,
I think it's called.
Oh, is that?
It's a new one.
Oh, a new one, okay.
Oh, absolute rubbish.
What is it about?
I don't even know, mate.
All right.
I watched 25 minutes of it and was like, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Ouch.
Matters. I don't know if you saw this in the paper this week. Blenheim Palace had a burglary.
I've heard about this.
So a gang broke into the Oxfordshire Palace about 10 to 5 a couple of nights ago, stole artwork and various other things. They also stole... I don't know if this is the... if the story is weirder than the actual item. They stole an 18-carat solid gold... £1 million toilet. Now,
there's no excuse to own something like that.
There is no excuse.
There's no reason.
I'm actually on the burglar side.
Yeah. But you know what's scary though? I mean, this is a royal property.
Palace, yeah.
Right? And so if a burglar can get into that,
well, that's worrying.
That's really worrying. Like, to have a burglar alarm, like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get £1 million toilet, get a £200 burglar alarm.
I have a better toilet than an £18 million, like, gold-plated toilet. I do. I have a Japanese toilet.
Tell me more.
You press the button, it cleans your bum.
I'm sorry, what?
Have you ever been to Japan?
I've not been to Japan.
Right. The great thing about Japan is the toilets now, well, and they've been like this for a while.
Yeah.
After you've done your business, particularly a number two,
you
press a button and a little jet emerges from a secured section of
the
toilet.
Oh, like water, not like
a little jet.
Like a plane.
No. Like a little jet, and it cleans you.
Right in. Wow.
And then so therefore you're clean. You're not carrying any debris.
Yeah. So you'd have to use toilet tissue?
To dry it. But even then there's a dryer on it as well.
There's a dryer. There's a bum dryer.
Yeah, there's a bum dryer on it as well. We had our bathroom redone at home and I insisted on getting that and having it in our home. And my family were against it. Like they were like, new things. and I was like, no, I've been to Japan and I've literally been to the future, we're getting it, and then everyone loved it. Like, this
really?
Is great. It just
is it not give you a little like a little tickle, though?
A little bit of a tickle.
Oh, I can see why that would appeal.
It's a little bit, and you
that's
feel
been on the toilet for 45 minutes.
So wow. I'd highly recommend it if you're buying a bathroom. Forget about gold-plated toilets.
Yeah,
Japanese toilet cleans your bum.
That's the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm into that. I don't know if I could change that habit so quickly.
You can never. Once you've tried it.
You never go back.
If you go to the Middle East, you can get the bum guns.
Yes, I've seen that.
Now, so they're like too messy.
Yeah.
The pressure's too high.
Right.
Water ends up all over the floor.
Yeah, that's like a prostate exam, isn't it?
It is, because it ends up coming out your mouth. And, you give yourself a colonic. It's not actually a very practical, but the Japanese are like the little jet just...
I'm thinking
of
that.
And it oscillates as well. There's an oscillating option.
I bet it does.
Do you know, so you can have that.
Wow. You don't work for this company, do you?
No, I want to buy shares in them.
Like, I'm telling you.
I want every bathroom in the world to have Japanese toilets.
There you go. You heard it here first, guys. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio. Where real music
matters. Still getting texts in for backhanded compliments. Some absolute beauties coming in. Lisa says, after we shared our first kiss as husband and wife, my husband looked at me and said very lovingly, do you know, you are the best I could get. I know what he meant, but you don't want to hear that on your wedding day. The best I could get. And Jojo Parker says, after my husband had surgery and was under the influence of morphine, he said, I don't know who you are, but when my wife gets here, she will be livid. A bit bewildered, I said, but I am your wife. What makes you think I'm not? He responded very seriously, no, my wife's fatter than you. I think he would need morphine after that. My goodness. Love those. So feel free to keep firing those over. And I'm more than happy to take your tips on stuff to watch on the telly. And I'm like this. I've never even punted this out, but people are just so helpful when they listen to this show. So we had Money Heist, somebody mentioned. Somebody says Unibomber and Mindhunter are very good. And Dead to Me, I don't know Dead to Me. They're all fab. And a good series to watch, this is from Pete. Actually, I have watched the first couple of episodes of this. It was Brassic. Have you seen Brassic?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
It's very funny. It's very funny. I not to clang, but I was talking to Peter Kay the other day. We were having a little chat, and he said he'd watched it in one sitting. It was really
That's
funny.
Intense.
So if somebody at that level has watched it, then it must be funny. I the other one I watched recently on BBC was Capture. You seen this?
No.
It's good. Starts off very good.
Capture.
It's about a guy who was in the. Don't want to give anything away, but it's about a guy who. He was in the military and was put in jail for a crime, and then he gets out, you know, he's proven innocent. But then he's seen on CCTV attacking somebody, but he's adamant that he never did it, and we don't see it happen. So it's all this did it? It's like technology. Did it really happen? Has somebody doctored the tapes?
Oh, wow.
Or what? Very clever.
Well, that's very possible now with the deep fakes technology.
That deep fake thing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah,
I mean,
really
if
is.
You think of the technology we have just on a Snapchat filter,
yeah,
you know, you're able to make your face look different and, yeah. And make a different person.
Imagine what exists at the military level.
Imagine what the military have got.
There's a great story. I don't know if I should mention his name. I've got a UFO story that another comedian should tell me. He goes that, so there's a comic that said that one of their relatives was in the first Gulf War.
Right.
And when they were on patrol around Iraq, there wasn't any lights on the base. And as they're walking around, suddenly just a light behind them shone and their shadow stretched out before them. And they panicked and they looked behind them. And there was something the size of a car floating silently behind them. And it just looked at them and then it silently just sauntered off. And so they went back to their, you know, what is it, the general, the colonel, the head of whatever. And they're like, we've just seen a UFO, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, it's not a UFO. This is American technology.
That's one of ours.
It's an American thing. And it's called like a, I don't know, a scout or whatever. And that's it. And that was the end of it.
Wowza.
It wasn't alien. It was domestic, like normal terrestrial technology. Yeah.
There's enough things on this planet to be terrified of without looking up there.
Yeah. Spiders.
Spiders for one. Yeah.
Sometimes I think, do you know what? Spiders are actually alien technology spying on us. They're like CCTV, mobile CCTV.
Do you spend a lot of time alone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. We talked earlier, I asked you about what someone did nice for you this week. Someone did something nice for me this week. Or me and my colleagues for rehearsing for the musical. That I'm doing Curtains, and we rehearse in London in a hall like that. They sort of find these halls they rent them out. Anyway, we got there on Saturday morning. Caretaker's not answering the door. It's all locked up, and I sort of turn up. Everyone's outside. Can't get in, and we've only got like a 4-hour window to rehearse this thing. And you know, every minute is taken care of. You know, and we're there like half an hour or something like that. And then a vicar comes over. And he's asked what's going on and what's up. And we said, oh, we can't get in. We're trying to rehearse our musical. And he said, well, my church is free if you want it. It's got a big space. And we rehearsed. I put the pictures on Facebook yesterday. We rehearsed our play in this beautiful church right there in the middle of the pew. I mean, people were coming in like to sort of light candles and do what people do in churches. And we're just on stage singing and dancing and practicing our play. Like, it was really surreal.
Wow.
But it was a nice thing for him to do. Slightly inappropriate. There is a bit, the show starts, it's a musical whodunit.
Right.
And I play the detective to sort of solve this crime. And one of the characters is killed. And so, you know, you sort of don't realise until you start doing it in a space like that. And there's a bit where everybody sings the woman, it's called The Woman Is Dead. And the woman is dead, and it literally ends all beautifully harmonized. Dead, dead, dead. And we're, you know, people are just coming in like lighting candles at the back for loved ones who are like,
oh my God.
Okay. This has got slightly inappropriate. But it was a lot of fun. Tickets on sale now, by the way. Come along if you fancy it. Manchester and Sheffield and Cardiff and Darlington and Dartford and Southampton and Liverpool. Loads of places we're coming to. Glasgow. Come along. It's going to be fun.
Where real music matters.
I've had a mad old week this week. I was on Zoe Ball's breakfast show on Radio 2 actually on Friday. Sort of plugging Scarborough and Curtains the musical. I was on there with Sue Perkins and Westlife. Right, they were on singing live. Now that they're not for us. Like, Westlife didn't come out and go, how can I get these middle-aged men to like us? That wasn't their thing. But weirdly, there's something about being that close to people who were, like, as close as we're sat now, like 3 foot away, they were closer than that, singing their songs, which weirdly you know because you just heard them so much. I came away quite impressed. I must say, I was a bit like, and then I got home and my wife was like, oh, did you enjoy it? I said, they were good old Westlife. Like, they can knock out a number. I said, they're on tour next year. We'll do Wembley and that, and maybe we should go and see them. She was like, are you actually joking? I was like, right, well, I'll go with someone else then. Something about being close to people good at their job that I find exhilarating.
You appreciate the talent. Yeah.
I'm also less... there was definitely a point in my life when it came to music, I was like, no, this is what's good and that's not good. But now, obviously, as you get older, you just I think I just appreciate lots of different things. You go, oh, I like that person. That's country music or grime or whatever it is. You go, I can see. Yeah, because I saw, you know, Stormzy at Glastonbury. It's not, I've never bought an album. It's not my, it's not for me. It's not aimed at me. But I was like, crikey, he absolutely nailed it. But at the same time, I saw Dolly Parton and went, she's amazing. Like, you know. I don't know, is it
you're
age?
Right, earlier you were saying, I think when you're younger, you identify with a certain type of music and then that's all you know. And then as you get older, you realise, oh, actually, you know what? There's lots of stuff that I... And so right now I'm going through my Cardigans and Sheryl Crow phase again, weirdly enough, like rediscovering them, trying to deny that I ever liked it in the first place.
Yeah.
Go, you know, definitely fancy both of them. The girl.
Yeah,
the
I mean, that does help, obviously, if there's a connection. But I find it fascinating. The other thing I find fascinating, not that we, you know, obviously I sort of listen to the ads sometimes, is I keep hearing that advert of like a guy rapping for BT Broadband or whatever it is. He's doing rap. And it's so odd to just, like, because I just picture the moment where they got this like young black lad in to do this rap.
Yeah.
And there's just like four white executives in this other room. And they're like, can you sound more urban, please?
Like, that sounds exactly like what they're saying.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, obviously, when rap was invented, it was against the man and sort of, you know,
it was anti-establishment. And it was speaking up for a community, you know, that was quite disenfranchised. Yeah.
And now it's like, get your broadband. Like, you're like, what?
Get your broadband.
What? That's not what rap's for. Can you say bruv? We've heard bruv quite a lot. We think that would really sell the package.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning. I'll be back next Sunday if you want to tune in for a bit of that. Imran, you're going on tour. Second leg of the tour,
Profit Sharing with Ashley Blaker. Come and see.
That's the title. That's not.
And
you
also
are also the profit
financial
sharing.
Agreement as well.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's a show of an Orthodox Jew and an unorthodox Muslim going on the road, sharing the stage and talking about our experiences. So I've got on the second leg of its tour at the moment.
Brilliant. So Imran Yusuf off on tour again. So I'm gonna have a little watch of him. And if you see him advertising your local comedy club, have a watch. This stuff on YouTube, of course, you can.
Please check out my YouTube channel.
Very, very funny, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Myself, Scarborough, on Friday evening, the comedy on BBC One. Have a little watch of that. I don't know what happens because I film my bits out of sequence, so I'm actually watching it myself to go, oh, is that what I was doing? So have a little watch of that. That's Friday night, 9:30. The other two episodes are on the BBC iPlayer now, so go make sure you grab them. And the musical curtain's about to head out on tour, kicking off in Bromley, got Manchester, Sheffield, Cardiff, loads of places. So come and have a little watch of that. A comedy whodunit. In the meantime, enjoy your Sunday, whatever you do, by yourself or with your pals. Take care.
Absolute Radio, where real music matters.